Well, I want to, as we shift to God's word here, I want to put a few pictures on the screen. And I'm wondering if any of them portray the current status of your spiritual life, okay? So here's the first one. Does anybody feel like a couch potato? Your spiritual life is just kind of parked, you know? It's going nowhere. You're flipping channels, flipping churches, flipping experiences, hoping that something inspires you. But in truth, it's all, and maybe even God, just kind of boring. Or maybe you feel, second picture, as if your spiritual life is like wandering through fog and mist. It's drudgery, it's one step after another, and you don't have any sense of where you are or where you're going. Or perhaps your spiritual life is, third picture, it's like looking into a rearview mirror. You're stuck just looking backwards, maybe longing for the old days, you know, the things that are no more. Or perhaps your rearview mirror is constantly being reminded of your failures, your sin, your guilt, your shame. Or how about this one? You're like a runner straining forward with all you've got toward a finish line of knowing Jesus. You know, Paul is aware of how we can coast in the Christian life. We can wander away. Our passion for Jesus can wane. We can get distracted. You know, prayer happens, but mainly it's in church led by others. We read God's word when it's convenient, and often it's not. Well, Paul wants to encourage us to engage with Jesus by pressing on, straining forward to know him, like a runner pressing toward a finish line. Well, let's hear God's word as Paul unfolds this to us from Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10.
Morning, church. Would you please stand as you're able for the reading of scripture this morning from Philippians 3, 10 through 16. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained.
This is the word of God.
Every runner keeps his or her eye on the finish line, the goal. It's important to see the goal in order to run well. And Paul is encouraging us, first of all, to see the goal. The language that he uses here has Olympic athletes in mind, who with every fiber of their being are pressing on, straining forward, seeing a goal in front of them. And Paul writes, verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do you hear the intense energy in that, that Paul's writing with? And we might ask, well, what's the prize? What's the goal? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Paul has said, verse 10, and this really sets the framework for all that follows afterwards, that I may know him. If we were to, you know, kind of pull Paul aside and say, Paul, you know, what's happening with you and the Lord here? Paul would respond, I am in hot pursuit of Jesus Christ. My eyes and my heart are fixed on him alone. Well, all this is to say that there is a goal out there, Christian. And it's not merely heaven, it's Jesus. It is knowing Jesus Christ. So, you know, no couch potatoism here, you know, for Paul. And we're not consigned to wandering aimlessly in some fog. No, there's someone to pursue and know. And knowing in Scripture, you know about knowing, right? It's never just information. It's never some download of information, some facts. It's always relationship. It's always intimacy, this deeper experience of the person of Jesus Christ. See, Paul knows Jesus. He's in Jesus. He serves Jesus. But there's a holy discontentment in Paul regarding Jesus. He says, verse 12, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. See, there's a humble attitude there in Paul. And he repeats himself in verse 13. I mean, what he's saying here is, I know Jesus, but I haven't arrived yet spiritually. I'm not perfect. I know a lot about him, but there's more to know and experience, and I want it. I want him. I found myself praying this week two things in light of the passage. And the first was, Lord, what do I not yet know of you that I can know in this life? Lead me, draw me, show me. In a way, that prayer is simply asking Jesus, what am I missing out on you? Well, if that's not scary enough, I then prayed for you, church. Oh God, give Christ Community Church a holy discontentment. Make us dissatisfied with where we are currently, of what we know and experience of Jesus, and satisfy us with knowing more of him. And I believe Jesus wants us to pray stuff like this. And it's because of the reason Paul gives for his desiring this. Look at verse 12. I press on to make it, and that it there is knowing Christ. Okay, I press on to make it my own because Jesus has made me his own. Did you hear his reasoning? I press on because Jesus has made me, you, us, his own. Now let's unpack that a bit. You know, in conversion, when we came to faith in Jesus, what happened was, yes, we were forgiven our sins. We were declared sons and daughters of the living God. We were dressed in Christ's righteousness. But what happened on the other side, Jesus' side? Jesus made us his own. In other words, Jesus lovingly seized us, graciously grasped us, took hold of us, drew us to himself, and said, mine. He formed this unbreakable relationship with us that he may know us and we may know him. I mean, if we pull Jesus aside and ask, hey, Jesus, what is going on with you and Paul? What's going on with you and these people at Christ Community Church? What's going on with you and your people? Jesus would say, I am in hot pursuit of them. My eyes and heart are fixed on them alone. Jesus has made us his own. His love, his treasure. And his desire is that we might know him in greater depth as he knows us. But what exactly does this mean? I mean, knowing Jesus more. Well, in verse 10, where it all begins, this line of thought, Paul says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Now, power of his resurrection, that sounds awesome, you know? We're all in for that. But this fellowship of sufferings and becoming like him in his death, can we just have A and not B and C here? But it's not multiple choice. Sorry, it's basically all or nothing. The power of Jesus' resurrection, what is this? What's Paul talking about? Well, he's talking about the power of the life of Jesus Christ in us. The power, the life of his love, his goodness, his mercy, his wisdom, his grace, his strength, the depth, the height. There's dimensions to this. I mean, Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 3 when he prays for the church to know more of the height, length, breadth, and depth of the love of Christ. See, there's more of Jesus than that we can know. In ways, some of us may just be in the kiddie pool kicking around in the shallows of what we can actually know of Jesus in this life. Because remember, he's God, he is infinite, he is eternal. We will never bottom out or time out on the greatness and grandeur of who Jesus Christ is. But how do we experience more of Jesus' power in life? Well, often, like 99.9%, it's through suffering. It's by identifying with Jesus in his death. We live for Jesus and we suffer injustice or persecution, mocking or rejection. Or when we suffer an illness, there's brokenness of body or our plans fall to pieces. And yet in it, we are looking to Jesus. We're relying on Jesus. We are calling on Jesus. That's a dying to self. And in all of that, Jesus becomes sweeter and more precious. I mean, his presence may be all that we have left, but his love and comfort become breathtaking to us. They are sustaining, and we see how amazing our Lord is. You know, this gives us a different perspective on suffering and hardship, because to the Christian, these very things become opportunities that I may know him. And so, yes, we want to pray for deliverance and for healing. But we also want to pray, I want to know more of you, Jesus. I want to know greater heights and depths of your love, more facets of your goodness, joy, compassion, mercy, strength, and presence in the midst of what I'm going through. A holy dissatisfaction. Wanting to know more of Jesus. Do you have that? Well, to whatever degree you and I do, we are seeing the goal, okay? We're seeing the goal, and it's him, it's Christ. Now, strain forward toward that goal. See, Paul describes straining forward in verse 13, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You know, Paul says that we need, first of all, to forget what lies behind. In other words, don't get stuck looking at life through a rearview mirror, because that's a spiritual bondage. And it's easy to get stuck there, isn't it? It might be nostalgia. We look back on all the good old days and in the past victories. We sing the same songs. We tell the same stories. And we just kind of live there, wishing we could go back. There was a great movement of the Holy Spirit in the 1970s. I came to faith in 1973. I don't know about you, but Probably a lot of you had an experience of Jesus in the 70s. And I mean, the Holy Spirit was moving. But, you know, we can get stuck longing for a return to those days. Maybe if we just sing the songs of the 70s, you know, we can bring it all back. You know? But that's a bondage. And if we get stuck pining away for what was then we're going to be spiritually blind to what is now, to the new thing that God may be doing. After the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited a woman in Kentucky who took him to see the remains of a grand old tree in her yard. And she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. And she looked to Lee for a word condemning the North or at least sympathizing with her loss. But after a brief silence, Lee simply said, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and move on." In Scripture, it seems that God never does the same thing twice or work in the same way. It seems he's always working in some new way and time. And if we get stuck looking back, we may very well miss him and his movements in the current day. You know, our circumstances are not the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is. And so if we're stuck looking back at the good old days, well, give thanks for them. But maybe we need to cut them down and move toward the Lord. But I think there's another way that we get stuck looking in the rearview mirror, and it's those police lights, you know. We're overwhelmed by our sin and our failure, and it might be the regrets. We're looking back on maybe a long life, and we're just filled with regret of all that we failed to do, the opportunities we missed or messed up. Or maybe we focus on the sins that tripped us up, and it's become a past of which we're ashamed. Perhaps it's the sin of others. That's what we see in the rearview mirror. We were wronged. We're a victim. Somebody betrayed us, lied about us, stole from us, broke a confidence, failed us, and we can't now breathe without circling around to our victimization. It's become our identity. Well, what do we do if we're stuck looking in the rearview mirror of sin and brokenness? Well, what we do is preach the gospel to ourselves. Because there's nothing in our past, not even the sin of others, that is greater, has more power, or is beyond the ability of God to touch, to heal, and to give grace for. You know, I think when we find it impossible to get beyond the past, such that we're just locked in looking back, it may be that we have failed to properly remember the past. You know, when Paul tells us, you know, he's forgetting what lies behind, I don't think that he's saying, so I'm erasing all memories. Because there's actually a good thing to dwell on in the past. It's God and his works of mercy and grace. Psalm 77:11, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds." And so you see, when our past sins and failures and regrets and injustices come up in the rearview mirror, what do? We give them to Jesus. We refuse to live in the bondage of these things by recalling the grace and mercy of Jesus for us on the cross. That he has forgiven our sins, and we praise him and we move on. We bring our regrets to Jesus. We say, as John Newton did, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be. But praise God, I am not what I used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. And what I am is his. I am his." But we have to do more, Paul says, than just forget what lies behind. There's a second half of verse 13, We have to strain forward to what lies ahead. You know, so instead of sitting on the couch or walking into a fog or looking backward, we look forward. We run hard toward Jesus. He's the prize, and we'll get him if we keep moving toward him. Florence Chadwick was an American swimmer back in the 50s and 60s. She was known for her long-distance swimming. She's the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. And in 1952, she was the first woman to swim the 21-mile channel between Catalina Island and the coast of California. And on that swim, the water was numbing cold, and the fog was so thick that she could barely see the boats in her party as they were rowing alongside of her. Several times, sharks had to be driven off with rifle fire. Well, after swimming 15 hours, she asked to be taken out of the water. And her trainer tried to encourage her to keep going, but when she looked up, all she could see was fog, and so she quit. And she was 1/2 mile from the shore, from her goal. She said later, "I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen the land, I might have made it." Well, 2 months later, she walked off the same beach into the same channel and swam the 21 miles, setting a new speed record because she could see the land. And at the very end, interesting, a very thick fog rolled in. But she kept swimming because she said she had an image of the land in her mind. She could see it. And she kept swimming toward it. Well, Christian, obviously we don't see Jesus in the flesh, but we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit, and with the eye of faith, we can picture the goal. And I think that's what Paul's doing here in verse 14. He's pulling from the Olympics of his day. And he's picturing the awards ceremony. The race is over, and the judge calls out the name of the victor. This upward call, that's for the victor to come up to the judge's, into the judge's presence and receive the victor's laurel. And what Paul is saying, in effect, here is, I'm running, and my hope is that someday Christ is going to call my name. Paul, come up here before me. And I will rise, and I will stand in his presence and get my prize, him. And I'll know him fully as I've been fully known. I will be perfect. I'll be perfected. No more sin. My flesh, no more weakness. The affections of my heart will pulsate with the beauty of his purity. And my Lord will say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the rest I've prepared for you. I give you a crown of righteousness, an unfading crown of glory. I have a robe for you and a new name. And for all eternity, I will show you what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what has not entered the heart of man. Paul, this is your reward for pressing on to know me. If Jesus is our goal, we will get him. And not merely in eternity, because there are depths of the love and goodness of Jesus Christ to know now in this life. Press on to know him. Set some mile markers, you know, to help you stay focused on him. And maybe that's joining a small group to get around brothers and sisters and ask them to encourage you to keep straining forward toward Christ. Maybe it's coming to prayer meeting or some prayer gathering Sunday night, Wednesday night, and praying with others whose hearts are set on seeing Jesus. Maybe it's committing to a specific way to serve others alongside families. But in it, you're asking Jesus, would you help me to know you and to do this work in your strength? You know, whatever the mile markers, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Press on toward the goal. And be bold to ask, Lord, what do I not know of you today that I can know? Lord, what do I not know of you today in my parenting? What do I not know of you today in my marriage, my job, my school? What do I not know of you today in my unfulfilled desires? in the discouragements of my life, the setbacks, the pressing needs, Lord, my financial struggles, the temptations and sins of my life, what do I not know of you in these things that I can know? Jesus, would you bring me there? Press on, church, to win him, Jesus Christ, the prize of the upward call of God. Amen.